Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say, it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to tonight's edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. Tonight we have a special panel discussion. We're going to be discussing keep your black money in your black pocket. So to take us into that show, I'm not going to delay. I'm going to bring in our host for tonight, Dr. Rijli Mukmin. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Rijli. Dr. Rijli? We seem to have a problem here. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Rijli. Sister Ann?
Yes.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Now, do you hear us?
Dr. Rijli's mic, but I can't hear Dr. Rijli.
Okay. It's open now. I had it on mute and I didn't know it. Oh, yeah. So the question was, how did I get volunteered to be the host?
Oh, okay. Well, I just did it. I'm sorry.
Oh.
It's a panel discussion. That's right.
It's a panel discussion.
It's a panel, so there is no hope.
Open mic. There's no hope.
Open mic. That's what it is.
It's open mic.
Yes, sir.
So that means everybody has an opportunity, equal time. So, Brother Calden, so how would you phrase of understand what we mean by spin your way out of hell?
Spin your way, well, the first thing that comes to my mind is just the opposite. Instead of spending, you keep your money, you save your money, and that's the first step, because you deprive your enemy of badly needed cash flow. We have a habit of spending money on frivolous things for practicing customs that don't lead to our independence, like giving gifts during Christmas time. And that's a practice that doesn't help us. It may help us emotionally for a little while, but in terms of it takes money from our pocket, puts it in our enemy's pocket, and it doesn't help us to build anything for ourselves. And so now the other way that I could see spending to achieve a goal that's worthy of ours striving for is to spend money with your own black self. So it's best not to spend money frivolously, but if you have to, if you can't resist the urge of spending money frivolously, at least at the minimum, spend it with your own black brother and sister so that money circulates in our community.
Okay. I agree with both of those points. And back in the, you know, the minister said back in the 60s, remember he said, opening up there for our program every week, he says back in the 60s, we used to say it's nation time. We don't say that no more. In the 60s, you know, we had our own segregated communities, and there were certain things that we could, goods and services, that we could buy from each other.
Yes, sir.
But when they integrated, you know, that wiped out our little mom and pop stores, our little clothing stores, because why? Now we can go to the white folks store. So that wiped out the little markets that we had, our little restaurants. You know, we can go to MacDuff and Murder King now, you know, and sit at a counter and be served. And so we gave up those things. So now we need to spend with self. But what do we buy from self? What do we have to sell to each other?
Good question.
I mean,
yes, sir.
Even a shade tree mechanic. For these new vehicles, they can't do but so much because they require the code from the company, just like the new tractors.
Right.
So that what somebody could, you could go to a black person to get done, well, you can't even do that because they got to have a code. They got to work for the Ford or the Chevy or the Toyota place. They got it all locked down. So while we was busy integrating, they was busy separating us from our dollar bill.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
now, you know, they say all those containers are out the ocean. Trying to get in, and there's a bottleneck. Well, there's a reason for that, because America don't make nothing. Don't make no shoes,
right.
Don't make no clothes, okay? Don't make no jewelry, don't make no, you know, all the little doodads, the knickknacks, are produced in China. The only thing we still produce is a certain amount of food. And we found that a lot of that is imported. A lot of the vegetables you're eating are imported. So we're not even self-sufficient anymore, America. America is like a third world country. You know, the only thing America produces really is vaccines and weapons. You know, and a lot of the pharmaceutical companies don't even manufacture the product here. A lot of pharmaceutical companies actually farm that out to India to actually physically make the drugs. America don't hardly produce nothing. And so now here we're saying we need to spend with self, and we don't have nothing to sell to each other because we're not, we have no skills. We're not making anything. And the what people spend their money for, you know, it's kind of complicated to make. In other words, a smartphone.
Cell phones.
You know, cell phones, right? Well, that's what they spend
yes,
the money for. But what would it take to set up a company to make them at the price that – you ever thought about it, Brother Carl? You in the high-tech a lot. What do
yes,
you
sir.
Think it would take to make a cell phone?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, just like you were saying about manufacturing products, the cell phones aren't made in the U.S. either. They're made in Japan and they're made in Japan, China, and in South Korea. And so, basically, money. You know, these companies, the research is done here. A lot of the research into cell phones and high tech gadgets is done here, but the bulk manufacturing is done overseas. Now, we had some investors. Basically, it takes money. You need investors and expertise. You can go to these folks and say, "I want to make the Muhammad Farm cell phone." Now, you know, and guess what? They'll do it for you. They'll copy a Samsung or another phone, and you know, and they'll make it for you. But you have to have the infrastructure and the money. It's no little task, and you have to have the market for it. You know, we were able to get all black people to commit to buying our Muhammad Farms cell phones, then it'd be a done deal. But that's a job in itself.
Right. That means they have to put the money up front because we don't have the money. What bank will loan us the money? What investor going to loan
right.
us the money to do it, and we still have control over it, right?
Right.
They don't do that. They'll,
yes,
they'll put you out front, but they'll manipulate you from the back. You're not going to be independent. Okay, they're not going to loan you the money so you be independent. They're going to loan you the money to keep you dependent on them. And they're not going to invest
mm-hmm.
in you for you to be independent. They're going to invest on you
no,
to have control.
No.
It's in their mindset.
Right.
It's in their spirit. It's in their soul to have control. So you got to do it yourself. That means what? You know, we have a young brother from working with us who's originally from Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, Brother Musa. He
yes,
said, you go to Africa, if you see an African living in a house, he owned that house. If you see him riding around in a car, he owned that car.
Hmm.
Because they don't believe in debt. They save their money until they can buy it.
Wow.
Okay? That's just a different opposite set than we are. We want to buy everything on credit. You know, we don't want to save money up, spend it right away now. We weren't always like that. When we came out of slavery, we weren't like that. But now we are nothing but a consumer. And now
mm-hmm.
all of America ain't nothing but consumers. Americans don't produce anything anymore. They've taken everything off since 1995, the Million Man March. They've taken everything offshore
mm-hmm.
to make sure that we are not able to live a lifestyle, a middle-class lifestyle that we used to in the as a manufacturer worker. And so what they did, they continue to bring drugs into the community, all type of schemes that people are always trying to rip each other off, some con game, some, what they call it, pyramid scheme. And so to settle down and to actually start getting back into skills and producing stuff and selling to each other, that is monumental, and that's the only way to freedom. So, yeah,
well,
we could
on that note, on that note, Dr. Ritz, you know, I feel really strong about what you said, and I feel really strong that one of the ways that we can start to make a change that we can do it gradually is to start working with the youth, encouraging them and teaching them, you know, the value of skills, and not just the value of skills, but what we should be doing with our skills, you know, because if we think about, you know, adults, we talk the talk, but we live a whole different life. But youth, if we can indoctrinate them with what they need to do in terms of building an economy for ourselves, and then equip them with skills. They have the creativity to make things and invent things. And so, you know, I feel it's an urgent need for us to start working with youth and encouraging them to get skills that they can do for self.
Well, you know, that's why that Black Wall Street with Bill Allen up there in Atlanta is mm-hmm. so key because, you know, that's everybody who has a shop in his Black Wall Street got to go to some training because he has an entrepreneurship school that he trains in. Me and Sister Ann went up there for one of their graduations. All right? That's what he does.
Yes, sir.
And he, for you to be able to put a business up in the Black Wall Street, you got to go through some of that same training. Okay? So, you know, he is doing that. He's been doing it for years with the youth up there in Atlanta. And so, but, you know, he has a large population to draw from. And, you know, whereas us down here, we don't have a large population to draw from. And it becomes, you know, we have a situation that people who come to work at the farm, young Black people, don't want the people in Dawson to know that they work at the farm, on the farm. So
what do they want to know? That they just don't work at all, or unemployed, or don't have no money, or they work in someplace else?
Well,
you know
what one of the people who used to work out here, you know what he does for income?
No, sir.
He plays the lottery. He plays the scratch all day long. That's his job.
Wow.
You know, a lot of people do that. You've been to the stores. You see them in line. You see them sitting there, right?
I have.
Some of these, they just sit there all day long, man. They play all different types of gambling. That's what they do.
Yeah, but he rarely wins. He was bragging and said, "You know how much I won on scratch off? I won you $20." I said, how much did you spend before that? So he had to think, you're right.
But, you know,
wow.
it still don't stop him, though. So
that's true.
Keeping hope alive.
Keep hope alive. So there is a lot to do, and there's a lot to show. You know, I'm glad I got these two young brothers who came to help, you know.
Yes, sir.
But it's hard to get people who really want to do any real work. We've been spoiled. You know, everybody want to do an office job. Everybody want to wear a briefcase, sit up in the air conditioning. They want to be a stockbroker, or they want to be a rapper. You know,
Dr. Ritchie. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Oh, yes, sir. You know, I just recently read Up From Slavery, and Booker T. Washington says the same thing you were saying, and this is like at the turn of the century. He's saying that the former slaves, they want to get an education where they can appear like they had the finer life. He said he calls the people in the northern cities lazy because they don't want to work. He said they want to have the finer life, and they want. It's interesting. If you don't really try to figure out what he's saying, you would think he's attacking education. You know, he says people want to use their minds instead of their hands, and so I took that to mean that people want to be clever. They want to be able to talk. You know, kind of like an attorney. You know, attorney don't have to work with his hands. He does have to, you know, do some study and no research, but there's a lot of people that just talk for a living. And that's what a lot of us want to do. You know, the rap, the music, the entertainment, and we just want to be able to be clever and convince people, whereas working with your hands is looked down upon, you know, as rudimentary instead of, you know, having pride. And to work well with your hands, you have to use your mind. You can't just dig holes and be successful. You got to use your mind to do what to make your hands do something that's worthwhile.
Well, you see why we all know about W.E.B. Du Bois, and we think that Booker T. Washington is Uncle Tom. They wanted to destroy that in us. You know, Tuskegee and Hampton, you were telling me more about at Hampton, but that's where it actually Booker T. Washington was trained at. Have you had a chance to tell me more about Hampton yet?
Well, it's funny. I actually wrote an email to Hampton University asking, you know, I gave a specific question, told him I was studying Booker T. Washington. I wanted to know something more about Hampton. And they wrote me back that, hey, why don't you read up on slavery? I was like, duh. That's why I'm contacting you all. So this might be a little more difficult. You know, I'm going to try to go to the history department and get somebody, because it was just fascinating to me, Dr. Ridgely, how, you know, Booker T. Washington grew up. He developed a work ethic with his family and even working for the mistress, the slave mistress. She put it on him. She made him a perfectionist, you know. And he was able to go to Hampton, and he didn't have the money to pay for his education, so he had to do janitorial work. And he did it so well, you know, he was able to pay much of his tuition, not all of it, but much of it. And as he went through the years, he impressed more and more people with his ethic and his discipline and his hard work. And he got to go, you know, got to be real close with the school president, who was a former Northern military officer, general. And this man had, you know, Booker T. Washington credits this man for much of advice. He gave him a lot of good advice in terms of what Booker T. Washington needed to do with himself. And so, but the vocational training, the civilization training, you know, they were teaching people to brush their teeth at that time because people didn't have toothbrushes. And so a lot of the civilization and a lot of the etiquette in the home training he got, and definitely the vocational training he got at Hampton. And then he went to Tuskegee and using the Hampton model, but he then put more emphasis, based on what I understand, he put more emphasis on the civilization training. And then once he got you on the road to being civilized, he gave you the skills. And I see us needing that very badly, you know, at this time as well.
Well, you know, his story is an amazing story. And, you know,
yes, sir.
Hampton and Tuskegee became the models for the other black land grant institutions. And even North Carolina A&T. It was first down in Raleigh, and then the people of Greensboro, the black folks in Greensboro, bought the land and brought it, the Agriculture and Technical School, to Greensboro, North Carolina, okay? And they bought a farm for it. And when I was going to school there in the early 70s, they still had their cows and the dairy, and they made their own ice cream for the school. Milk, ice cream, eggs. They actually produced it at the farm for the school. All that's gone now at the farm.
Wow.
Is just doing research, and now Bill Gates has put up his research, nanotechnology research, on a portion of the farm, and I'm sure he's putting his GMO crops and GMO animals
on the
farm for research, but there's no production going to the school or any place else. Transformed what they've taken, what Booker T. Washington and Hampton and others done that actually built us up from slavery, and now they, in fact, have twisted it us to a position now that we don't want to do anything like that anymore. Now we're dealing with producing synthetic food using nanotechnology, synthetic tissue. This is what they're studying now at the Bill Gates Research Institute on the campus of North Carolina A&T's farm.
Mm.
Okay?
Man, so you can get a job working for Bill Gates.
You get a job. It says that that institute, when it's full bloom, should hire about 2,000.
Golly.
Okay? That's big.
Maybe.
And what they'll be producing?
Yeah.
Artificial food. In fact, the food is
wow.
going to be your vaccine. They're going to put the vaccines in their modified foods. They're going all out artificial. And so if you want to keep up, you know, we're trying to keep up with them. And so who wants to go back to the old dirt farm way? So you can do it all in a nice, clean laboratory. Make some food in a nice, clean laboratory in some tubes and some whatever. Who
wow.
wants to get the
hell with it? There are going to be people who accept that, but there's a large contingent of people who are already. I'm looking at the number of black farms and gardeners that are showing up on Facebook. And I'm sure a lot of people are looking at that too and envying that. People now are coming on and saying, well, I'm not really a farmer. I'm a gardener.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to join this group. So it's that kind of thing that's happening. And I want to get back to what can we produce. Visiting Black Wall Street, I got a chance to walk around and see all of the vendors, really. And what we can produce is, without a lot of money, things that people use that we have experimented with and know how to use natural things to come up with products. There are some sisters there who came up with some hair care products, and they use all natural ingredients. There was another sister, and there were two brothers, because they were kind of close. They made jewelry, silver jewelry, and they had very nice stuff, very nice jewelry.
Mm.
And they had it laid out. There were some, the ginger juice had a line. And those two sisters, they make their own juices. And Brother Louis Ali mentioned the young brother who did ice cream. Outside, as we were leaving, there were several food vendors, and everybody was buying their food, and the one I really wanted had a line, so we didn't want to wait. So we left. But there are a lot of things being done now where black people are realizing, I don't have the money to maybe invest in a cell phone company, but I can do this. I can do that. And I'm trying to think of some of the other companies. There was a guy there. He was just setting up, but he was passing out literature. He specializes in natural hair. So it appears that what's going to happen at Black Wall Street is all of these people, and there was someone else who had art that he was doing himself, and I saw somebody leaving with a big picture they had bought from him.
Wow.
So it's those kinds of people, and it's a lot more that can start another Black Wall Street, as Lewis Ali said, in other places. Now, that's what he means by, what was your question, Dr. Risley? You didn't ask me to answer.
Spend your way out of hell.
Spend your way out of hell. Well, in addition to saving your money, oh, and there's another sister who was on our program, this program, a few weeks ago. Sister Nyambe had her on. She has come up with a selection of cleaning products. I ordered some of her cleaning products. So it's a lot of people doing that. So I see our way of spending our way out of hell. Save as much as you can. But what you spend, spend it with Black. Spend it with Black people. And you say, well, I don't know any Black people who got the kind of things I need. Have you looked? Have you searched the Internet? So we have a lot of work we can do, and a lot of people are, you know, reaching out, trying to do that work. But it's going to take all of us to be a part of it.
If I could say this real quick, Dr. Richardson, then we are halfway through our show. If you're enjoying the conversation and you have a question or you'd like to contribute, now's the time to do it. Press the 1 on your keypad, and we will recognize you for you to ask your question and make your comment. Okay, go ahead, Dr. Richardson.
Yeah, and I think it was, I don't know who made the comment. It may have been Lewis Ali. It may have been somebody else in relationship to the Black Wall Street in Atlanta. What's happening is, I think it said 5,000 people are moving to Atlanta per week.
Wow. That's a lot.
And they're coming from all over the country, the Northeast, the Central, even the West. And when they're coming, they're coming with an idea. In other words, some are coming looking for a job, but some are coming bringing their business where they're in the ghetto and now things are drying up in them cities, okay? They're taking their business and they're coming down south to set up business, okay?
Hmm.
So a lot of people who are moving down south are coming with a business that they had up north that was slowing down because of the violence and now the COVID. They say like 40% of Black businesses were shut down because of the shutdown, COVID-19, the shutdown last year. They say we lost 40% of the Black businesses. And so all these people, they lost out up there in the big cities, and now they're coming with what they have left down south to the big city, Atlanta, Birmingham, Jacksonville, Macon, New Orleans. You know, they're coming down Nashville. They're coming down south to the cities and to set up business. You know, some of them had restaurants, you know, so they'll be coming down and set up food trucks. Okay, we saw some, you know, people out there selling the food at outside of the Black Wall Street. They're going to have some restaurants inside as well once they get set up. So what happened is that people are moving around, you know, and they're looking. Now, we haven't gotten to move down this far south yet, down here in Southwest Georgia yet, but they're coming. And so people, new ideas. Sometimes it's hard for people who set in their ways. They've only seen life as they know it down here. They don't have any vision. But it's people coming who have vision, who have already been successful where they were, but times and circumstances pushed them out. And so now they're coming, I call it the reverse Underground Railroad. They're coming, they're buying land because they got some money. I mean, you can sell a house up there for $1 million, you know, up in New York, in Brownstone, Okay, you could do a lot of $1 million down here.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you have a lot of that going on. So you got an old mindset, then you have a new mindset that's been pushed out by COVID-19 and the lockdowns. So what's been a very traumatic situation for us as a people has led to this exodus. It's not something that's being led by Moses, but it's being pushed by the enemy. Like Mr. Farrakhan said, when I asked him about doing this blog talk radio, time to leave. He said, well, brother, you can have your little radio program, but Allah is going to make us separate. And
that's
so we see it. We're seeing that now you got to homeschool if you don't want your child stuck up with this this jab, this poison, this kill shot.
Right.
You got to keep them out of school. You got to do some homeschooling or set up your own schools. So what the enemy is doing, he's one set of people, he said, take this shot or leave. They going to stay and take the shot. Another set of people is ready to leave, and they think they got some skills and some know-how that they can make it without him. Okay? So we're in a very changing landscape, you know, and I was very impressed with the Black Wall Street. You know, I was impressed how it had it set up. I was impressed with the vendors. I was impressed with the people. You know, I can feel something. I can feel that they weren't going back to the old.
Yeah, because.
Feel... Go ahead.
Yeah, because most of the people there, I've thought about another business that was there. She was selling desserts that she made. That's one of the businesses there. So most people are finding a way to be independent in the midst of this COVID. And I think this COVID is helping us to find each other who are doing business that we want to partake in.
You know, this separate society. You know, now they're telling you, you got to be vaccinated before you can come to the restaurant. You know what I mean? You got to vaccinate before you can go to school. You got to be vaccinated for this. And people, black folks know, white, you know, when is white folks going to give us something good? For free.
For free.
And they're going to pay you. What they over all they give them $100 to take the shot. And Sister Ann said she saw a whole lot of people in the stores using the debit card, the EBT card, the food stamps. And I told her I saw a tent over in Albany on Slappy, and I know they was giving people shots. They was probably giving them shots and giving them food stamps. So you can get a
wow,
food, EBT
card
and take the shot. Okay? So
man,
they are dividing the people up, and some people who realize what it is, they realize that the fire is on. You know, remember our diagram of what makes you make it move. You know, is either a great vision for the future ahead of you, or a great fire behind you. So this vaccine is a great fire.
Yes, sir.
Pushing people out. It's making them make that decision. I ain't going to take that damn shot. That means that I'm about to change my whole plans of my life, my lifestyle. I've got to do this. I've been talking about doing this. I've been thinking about doing this. I've been planning about doing this. I was going to develop this. I'm going to retire. When I retire, I'm going to do this business. I'm going to take my money. And I'm going to build this business. Well, now they're doing it early.
They've
been thinking about doing this business. They've been developing this business, this idea, but they never went on and tried it because they just kind of wait for the perfect moment. Well, sometimes you can't wait for the perfect moment, but the fire can make you move.
Right.
So they're moving out. So you couldn't write this script, but Master Farah Muhammad can. And so we see us separating and finding how to do for self. You know, instead of just talking about it, now it's time for implementation. There's some people who've been thinking about it, but just never wait for the right moment, you know. But when they shut down everything like they did in New York and some of the big cities, and they just shut down everything, then the people said, okay, them damn Chinese and Italians or whatever, these rich folks, they've been trying to buy my condo. I mean, not my condo, my brownstone. They've been trying to buy my building. Well, here, you can have it.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that $1 million. Give me that $2 million. I'm out of here. And they took and they taken it behind down to Atlanta. So the reverse underground railroad is in effect. You know, I was even a couple of years ago, me and Sister Ann, you know, I was talking about this idea of this whole movement that we was going to go up north and start steering people into coming together and like-minded people go together and start buying land down south, the reverse underground railroad. Well, I wasn't able to put my plans together, but Allah has already put it together for the people.
That's right.
And he's burning them out of them cities. You know, I'm going to say this one little funny thing. When Minister had Day of Atonement up in, I think it was Christ United, up in the black church up there in Atlanta, Sister Ann, you remember? And I was up there. Minister Farquhar had it on the front row, the research team. But the church wasn't full. You know what I mean? And the minister was really upset about that. You know, I had a thought. I didn't say it at the dinner table, you know, but I thought to say it, but I didn't say it. Well, Brother Minister, you've been telling people to get out of these cities where evidently somebody didn't listen to you and they gone.
Ooh, boy, good thing you didn't say that.
I know. I didn't say it. But, I mean, the minister been warning us that there's, you know, that they go, we need to get out of these cities. And that's what people are doing. I mean, Chicago, there was like, as they said, like 10,000 per year at least are leaving Chicago, been leaving for the last 10 years, black folks.
Man.
You know, they're leaving. They're leaving. And so they've heard the minister. They haven't joined the nation. You know, they haven't got registered. But they heard the minister. They looked at the situation, and they've been working, planning to get out. And now the COVID hit, and the gang violence on top of that, people just saying, that's it. I'm out of here. I don't see it coming back up here. I heard about Atlanta. I done heard about Birmingham, you know. I done heard about this. I done heard about that. You know, I got family down there here. I got family down there there. They call on the phone. They're driving down and visiting. So they decide, look, no, I'm going to make this move, and that's what's going on. So people say, which eight states? Is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad? No, he never said which eight states. But guess what? The people are going to go back to where they have some type of ties to. All the people who left, they left Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia,
right.
South Carolina. Okay? That's where they left from, going north. Their ancestors, their grandparents and grandparents, to go up there to a better life. But now the better life is deteriorated. It's not a better life no more. And COVID-19 and the gang violence has just pushed the people over the limit, and now they're going back. Now, the enemy, he didn't plan on this happening the way it's happening. And we didn't plan on it. But Allah has planned on it. So, yeah, they're coming, and they come with money. They come with ideas. And so we just keep doing what we're doing. Preaching and working, being an example, like we're doing with the Staple Goods, being an example, giving people a chance to participate and to purchase
yes,
from their own, giving people a chance to learn how the system works. I think the one thing that we've learned in the Ministry of Agriculture, we've learned a lot about how a national economy works, how things work, and how things are all tied together, and how when you work in a collective manner and you do it, you know, correctly, you can overcome some of the obstacles in terms of, you know, having a lot of money. We don't have a lot of money. But what we have trust, which is valuable. And we have, you know, character towards one another, which has value. So therefore, people participate and they buy the product in advance and wait until we get it to them, which I can understand. That's pretty tough for black folks to do, for them to pay for something in advance. They used to pay stuff with a credit card or paying stuff on time. We go pay in advance. So, you know, that's asking a lot. But so far, the people have agreed to it, and so we were able to grow. So, again, you know, we got the best teaching, the best examples, you know, but we just sometimes crazy as hell, you know. But we have to learn how to handle our craziness as well. But it's a what we're doing is a big thing. It doesn't seem like it's big, but it is a big thing. The enemy understands how big it is. When the minister had the Million Man March and 2 million men showed up, and he also bought this farm by buying back what the messenger had, the enemy understood danger. And that's why they shipped everything out of the country. They decided to sink America before we took over. So now they've left it a dried out cinder, but we're going to have to rebuild it. Rebuild it for ourselves, with ourselves and for ourselves. So don't look for America to come back. Okay? Even white folk are preaching for you to get together in like-minded people, set up new communities, and do trade and commerce amongst self. I mean, they are practicing what we've been teaching. Dale Bigtree with the highwire.com, Brother Carlson.
Yes, sir.
He moved his whole team from California to a farm in outside of Austin, Texas.
He's bragging about it too.
Yeah, he moved his whole team to a farm outside of Texas. They are developing their own community of like-minded people. And you see, he's getting a lot of money support. You know what I mean? He's big, right?
Yeah,
well,
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He's big. So they're doing it. They are doing it. Pitts. What's his name? Austin Pitts. Catherine Austin Fitz. She's doing it. She talked about how she's able to survive off the grid, even though they completely canceled her out. But financially, they cut her. But she got together with people, family members and other people. And she said, when they cut me off, the key is make yourself useful.
Mm.
Make yourself useful. So she
That's
took the
big.
Skills she had and started financial consulting for small businesses. And she says, and now she's doing so well, she can go anywhere she wants to in the world, do what she wants to do, because she got people who's supporting her because she's supporting them. So they're paying her for her advice on finance and business. And so that's how she's able to survive, even though they completely cut her off of – out of this system. I mean, she was supposed to die. Okay? Mm-hmm. They took her money from a bank. I mean, she just couldn't get a job nowhere in the financial world, even though she was a big international banker, investment banker. They stripped her of all of that when she stopped pointing out the evil that they was doing. And they expected her to die and go away. She said she'd been poisoned more than once, you know? Mm-hmm. So she She said, I've made a decision, and I'm glad I did. You know? But she said, the key is make yourself useful. Mr. Farrakhan, and he was teaching on the new educational paradigm, and he said, find out what people need and what people want, then train your children how to service those people.
Wow.
Right.
That's a survival, that is a survival formula, because it's going to happen where these inflations are going to be more common, and they're going to be more severe until we get to the point where we may have to barter just for food.
Correct. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
They're driving the people into the ground to get them to submit to being part of this technocratic communist system where you will own nothing. Okay, you work for the plantation, and you buy from the plantation. You just own the plantation.
Okay? Wow,
that's what they're setting up. And the people who want us to be free, looking for other folks who want to be free. And look, let's be free, but you got to be free together. Can't be free by yourself. You got to be free together.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have a group. Okay, you got to have a group that you can build from. So you can, again, you got to have people who can do different things, so that you can buy and trade with one another. But you got to have something to trade, either a service or a product. You got to have something to trade, and then people can trade with you. But they got to have a service or a product. But again, it takes make yourself useful.
Wow.
Make yourself useful to somebody, and you can survive if you are useful. The white man's world is trying to label people as useless eaters. That's what they label the master, useless eaters.
Yeah, you probably know I don't indulge in Facebook very much, but these kind of discussions are necessary. You know, I was talking to a brother, I saw it at Home Depot today. He's a brother that's a tradesman, and we were talking about how brothers don't talk about how we can help each other. You know, it's not part of our conversation where we say, brother, what do you want to do? You know, how do you want to make a living? What's your goals? Okay, so how can we help you? How can I help you? How can we help you, you know, get on the road to achieving this goal? And then, you know, and then once this brother gets, once you help someone get on the road to achieving their goals, and Allah bless them to get some degree of success, then that brother does the same thing with another up-and-coming brother. Same thing with sisters. And so you just don't have these kind of conversations. And because we don't have the conversation, you know, we're not doing it. You know, it's just as the minister said some years ago, we practice rugged individualism instead of being a community. You know, it's like, okay, I'm going to go get my degree, I'm going to get my training, get my job, and you know, I'm me and my family, we're going to do all right. And, you know, it's up to you to do your own thing.
Well, now you see why they pay the entertainers and the ball players all that money. Because
why is that?
What do black men talk about? Sports.
Yes.
Football, basketball. That's what they talk about. You go to the barbershop, that's where they have two big TVs and two different games on.
Wow.
Okay? And so that's the purpose of those, is so that you will be talking about the game and not about each other, not about your business, not about your dreams, not about what you plan to do, not about that. No, you are living vicariously through some ball player.
Man.
So you don't have to have any real contact. So your communication is not talking about you and this other brother. You all are talking about the football game, the basketball game. Who's going to win the Heisman? How come he didn't win the Heisman? I think he should have won the Heisman. Blah, 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 blah. That's why they pay him all that money as a distraction, so that you will not get involved in the type of conversations you were talking about, Brother Carlson.
Man.
It's all planned. That's why they pay them people all that money, is to keep your mind off of your behind, Okay, keep your mind off of your stuff. You got your mind on their stuff. Okay. So you sit around. We don't even eat together no more. You know what I mean? People go, each one go to their room to eat so they can look at a different TV program.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's all designed to keep us from communicating with one another. Now they got social distancing, isolation, and mask.
Wow.
To keep you from communicating with each other, because you can't build and grow if you don't have communication. Completely atomizing people, atom, like individuals, so that you cannot grow. You know, even develop immunity, natural immunity. You got to be close to people. You got to spread the virus or whatever the disease is, or whatever the agent is, spread it so the bodies can be defend itself against it. So it's a communication. It's communication. But they try to cut off all communication except through them. Except through them. And we just had a recent experience with that, right, Brother Carl? You know, how they want to control everything. If you go to them, then they want to control everything. They want to know all your business. For what? It's just a manner of control.
And
so
modern,
we're going to have
yes,
to
sir.
Work. You know, we're going to have to work to be independent and free from them.
That's
we're
right.
not going to be able to build our world on their platform. They're not going to allow it
right.
to do that. You know, they're going to play games with the phones, play games with Blog Talk, play games with the Facebook page. They're going to play games with us as long as we don't
get our own.
We got to get our own. And we got to be close enough so that we can communicate with one another without their platform.
Right.
I mean, you didn't invite me to the dinner last night, but I'm sure that you and the two brothers had a nice conversation face to face, right?
We had a wonderful time. I'm sorry, Doc. I figured you were too busy.
That's okay. That's all right. That's all right. Let y'all do some bonding. You know, let y'all do some bonding. But you see, but to be around, positive thinking Muslim brothers, right?
Yeah, it's like a rarity.
It's heaven. Huh?
It's
well, why
a rarity.
Don't y'all do that? Why don't y'all do that again?
Oh, we're just saying
so,
that.
Well,
we don't
live to each other.
So they ain't trying to get out cooking, brother.
Oh.
For the brother. He's trying
to
get
out several times.
Yeah, right. So anyway. But
we're going to do it again. Okay, so this time we'll invite you, Dr. Richards. I'm sorry, we'll bring you in too. But they're going to be here for several more weeks, so we'll do it again.
Okay, well, you know, that's cool, but I like eating with Sister Ann, being Sister Ann by herself. But I'm sure she want me to go, so she ain't got to cook for me too, so whatever. Whatever. But anyway, but that's what it could be like if we're living together, if we had our own community, right?
Right.
That would just be natural.
Sounded.
Thank you.
20 seconds.
May Allah bless you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Nobody called. That's all right. We talk.
That's
Salaam
right.
Salaam alaikum.
Walaikum salam, sir.
All right. Salaam alaikum. I should have made you leave your key. If I'd have known for just one second.